Are we having a disco party?
Wendy, it's our new Friday disco segment. Every Friday, we'll talk to one of the greats from the world of disco, and we want to start out with Dana Gould. Dana, of course, the host of Disco Time.
That's right. Dana Legs Gould.
Yep. What a magical time that was, Dana.
It was. It was just an ocean of lapels.
Do you and Denny Terrio still fight, or do you get along again?
We fight like brothers.
Well, then that's the best way to fight, isn't it? It really is. Dana Gould is performing at Zany's this week. He has a new album out, Mr. Funny Man. It came out last month. There was a time, and I'm sure you subscribe to the same thing I subscribe to, where a comedy album was a big deal. You'd listen over and over and over and over.
Yeah, I still have many of my comedy albums. I collected them when I was a kid. That's why. I mean, it's so funny. You have to say, there's no vinyl release.
Yeah.
But having an album out sounds so much better than, you know, I'm dropping a download.
That sounds awful.
And an album technically is a collection of
it's
things.
It's a collection of, yeah, and it's
so it works.
I'm very proud of it. They did it was weird. I was going to do a special.
Yeah.
And then I was going to do the special and then go to Atlanta for the summer and film my show, Stand Against Evil, which just premiered November 1st on IFC. And you can watch the first two episodes on IFC.com. And there was a problem with the venue. Like, we couldn't film it. Like, it was like really down to the wire, and there was a product. They would have to move it. But for me to do it, it would have been a 4-month delay because I would have had to go to Atlanta, and then I would have had to go back on the road and get in shape. And I said, let's not do that. Let's just record it.
Would this have meant like rewriting new material just to keep
it
fresh?
It would have
fresh.
Been on the shelf for a summer, and then I would have had to take 2 months to get it going again, and I couldn't go right back on the road because I was in post-production.
And
I said, let's just do it. And there's a Kill Rock Stars is the label that I'm on. It's basically a punk label.
It's
that's sort of my métier, and to use a very non-punk expression. And I get to work with them. It's one of the best business relationships I have.
Oh, good.
It's great. Yeah, good, I really good. Love them a lot.
So when you were a kid, you were a fan of the comedy albums. Give me one or two. What were the ones?
Oh, I had Class Clown. I had FM and AM. I had the Cheap. My brothers brought them back from the Army when I was really little. So
we
had Big Bamboo, the Cheech and Chong Yellow album, the Woody Allen double album I had.
The one where it just says stand up on it? Is that the one?
Yep. Yeah. And then and all the Carlin stuff. Carlin was always kind of my go-to guy. Because I grew up in a big Irish family in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And I have four brothers and a sister. And when George Carlin was on TV, it was one of the only times everybody in the house would shut up.
Really?
So I always equated him with Serenity.
Yeah.
Which is odd.
Yeah, it's it. Yeah, exactly.
Did you get to meet him ever?
I got to know him. And it's one of the – I've been super, super, super crazy lucky in meeting my heroes, which they always say don't do it.
Right.
But in my case, I've had a lot of success.
Never a disappointment in meeting one of the heroes?
No. My heroes are all real quality people.
So yeah. Oh, good.
George Carlin, Albert Brooks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got to work with Albert on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Amazing guy. So freakishly talented.
Why wouldn't he use his name in the credits on The Simpsons? Why didn't he want his name out there?
Sometimes A. Brooks.
Yeah.
I know you have to ask him. I never asked him. Hmm. But he's might be the one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life.
Do you know the story about Carl Reiner on The Tonight Show?
Yes.
Where they asked him.
Who's the funniest person you know?
And he said Albert Einstein.
Yeah, Albert Einstein, my son's friend.
Yeah.
He was friends with, he grew up with Rob Reiner.
And Albert Brooks wasn't famous at the time.
No, he was a kid. He was 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the funniest guy that Carl Reiner had ever encountered.
Yes.
A 13-year-old Albert Brooks.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I was very, very lucky. I just worked with Mel Brooks. And Mel and Carl Reiner still have dinner every night.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Mel comes into the office around 2 and works till about 5, 6. Then he goes and sees his grandson. And then he goes to Carl Reiner's house, and they have dinner and watch and they have dinner and watch TV.
I love that. I love that family stuff. I really do.
Mel's great. And Mel's also crazy smart.
Yeah.
Like the Russian Revolution. Do you have 4 hours? And he'll just tell you the story of the Russian Revolution.
Would you call him, Mel Brooks, probably, if not our greatest storyteller, certainly among the tops?
In the top 5, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him and Springsteen.
Yeah.
They're pretty good at weaving a tale.
Yeah. So when you're around guys like that, guys you've idolized forever, what do you do? Do you
shut up.
Yeah, you just listen.
It took me a while to figure that out, but yeah, I just shut up and listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so lucky. I mean, I've got to work with all of these people that I really love and admire. And, you know, It's a rare opportunity, and you make the most of it.
Right.
You
know? Right.
I'm glad that I've had these opportunities when I was not so young. I couldn't appreciate it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, good. The timing was just right.
Yeah. I'm still a pretty young man. I'm 53.
Yeah.
But I started when I was 17. So I met everybody.
You know, it was always great. I never got to work with you, but sometimes I'd work at a club in town and I'd come and watch you. And I'm sure you've gotten this from other stand-ups. I always marveled at the fact that you took chance after chance after chance. You never played it safe. And
no.
that was so much fun to watch.
Look what it did.
You know, your name actually...
I just kept watching the safe comedians go on and work theaters.
Your name came up on Monday. We had Sven Gulli in the studio because it was Halloween. And he mentioned that he's going to be doing your podcast and you're going to return the favor.
Yeah, I'm going to go on Sven Gulli today. Again, that's the kind of show that my Stand Against Evil, the show I have on IFC, is a horror comedy. It's basically, what if Gillian Anderson was partnered with my dad instead of David Duchovny? And that's the show. It stars Janet Varney from You're the Worst and John McGinley from Scrubs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I have to see this. IFC.
Yeah, Stand Against Evil. It's on Wednesday nights at 10. And we're in our second season.
Congrats.
And, first season started right up against Game 7 of the World Series.
Oh, great timing.
But fortunately, a lot of people DVR it.
So yeah.
We survived that. And yeah, I grew up watching and loving horror movies. And I was so excited because I have MeTV that I get Sven Gulli now. I knew about him. And now I can watch him, and I'm just so happy that there's still a show like that on. And
right.
I always said, like, when you retire, I'll take over. And he's like,
really?
Yeah. He's like, are you sure you want to wear this much makeup? Like, I don't want him to retire. I want him to go for another 100 years.
But isn't it amazing?
I'll be Sven Gouldy. I'll just slip right in.
That works.
Oh, that's
great.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Bill, I am just so amazed at the people that truly love and follow Sven Gouldy. You've got Mark Hamill, who's a big fan.
Mark Hamill, Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah. Doc Emmerich, of course.
From the NHL.
NHL Sports. I mean, it's crazy.
I was on Gilbert Gottfried's podcast last month, and we just talked about Sven Gouldy the whole time.
Is that right?
Yep.
I want to see his documentary, by the way.
Oh, it's really amazing.
Is it?
And it's not, it's very, there's a lot of really serious stuff in it, really touching, amazing stuff. He's another guy that, like, oh my God, I'm friends with Gilbert Gottfried.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember my friends and I would watch, when we were in college and cable just became a thing, we would watch him on TV. Like if he was on anything, we would watch it. And every time he comes in and he says my name and he says Wendy's name, I go, he knows who we are.
Yeah, that's, I know. I actually had I got a chill up my spine once. My ex-wife was Paul Rubin's agent for a while.
Yeah.
And we went to see Paul and I'm still friends with all of these people.
Yeah.
I went to see Paul at the Groundlings. And this was 2004, 2005. You know, he's a huge star.
Yeah.
And we left. And we were walking down Melrose to our car. And we just heard, goodbye, Sue. Goodbye, Dana.
And it was Paul Rubens.
Paul Rubens.
Yeah.
And we both looked at each other like, Pee Wee Herman. It's crazy. And then we went to see the Pee Wee Herman show, and they did it live at the Nokia Theater. And then he came to our house for a fundraiser.
Wow.
Like a couple weeks later. And our daughter just walked in the house. My daughter's like, Pee Wee, come on upstairs. I want to show you my room.
Just,
like,
just very casually.
Yeah. 10-year-old girl. Let me show you my room.
Do you think the appreciation, you know, the movies that Sven Gulli shows, the horror movies, the classics, and some of the not classics, do you think that appreciation is lost with our generation? Will it carry over to our kids and beyond?
I know the generation behind me that still love all that thing, all those things. So it's my hope that will continue.
Yeah.
To me, I try to explain to people, the Wolfman and Frankenstein and Dracula, that's like Chuck Berry, Elvis Presley,
right.
Little Richard. It's like everything that you have now, you wouldn't have without them.
Yeah.
Right. And so to love it, you should know. And again, I sound like Jack Webb complaining about hippies, you know? but it's, you want to tell people, you know, believe it or not, cool stuff happened before you were born.
Right.
It's, I know it's hard to believe.
Right. But it did.
But culture didn't wait for you to show up to get interesting.
Dana Gould is here. He's performing at Zany's in Rosemont all this weekend. Zany's.com has all your ticket information.
Yeah.
We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder along with Dana Gould on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
Dana Gould is in studio with us, comedian, writer. He has a new album out, Mr. Funny Man, which is downloadable right there on the internet. He's performing at Zanies in Rosemont tonight and all through the weekend. Go to zanies.com. All your ticket information is there. I've never asked you this, but I know how much you love Planet of the Apes. Explain yes. your love for Planet of the Apes.
I can't. It's, just, it's so funny. I was on Man Cow earlier today, and all we did was talk about Planet of the Apes.
Did you?
I'm a professional. I saw the TV commercial for it when I was like 4 or 5 years old, and there was just something about it that really rang my bell.
Yeah.
Now, later in life, when I was in therapy for some things, I have four older brothers that are big, giant athletes, and my dad's a bigger, you know, man. They're all men. Mm-hmm. And I was this scrawny little kid that liked horror movies. And he goes, well, then it would make sense that you related to those movies because it's a guy in a world where he doesn't fit.
And yeah.
Like, yeah, but it's also just King Kong dressed like Fonzie chasing Moses dressed like Tarzan. You know, it's just like there's just something about him. But I have so many weird connections to them now. It's insane.
Give me a weird connection.
I did not buy it for this reason, but I live in Roddy McDowell's house.
What?
Yeah.
You do?
Well, now my ex-wife and my kids do, and I live up the street, but I bought it.
Oh, my God.
And I ended up living next door to one of the head makeup artists at 20th Century Fox at that time.
Really?
And I was talking to him, and I said, you're Dan Strepak. We were at like a neighborhood parking meeting. And they said, you're Dan Strepak. I know who you are. And I just told him his entire career.
Yeah.
And he knocked on my door the next day and gave me one of the overhead masks that the extras wore.
He
goes, here, I got these lying around my house. You should have this. And then I went out to Malibu Creek State Park where they filmed it and found a big chunk of the city that they'd bulldozed.
Really?
I have all these weird things about it.
It's kismet.
It is.
It's strange. I just think if you love something long enough, you become associated
with it. Isn't Charlton Heston perfect?
He's amazing in that movie. And I'll tell you, you know, he gets a lot of flack because of his
the NRA stuff.
Leanings. Yeah. I did Bill Maher's Politically Incorrect with Mr. Heston.
Did you?
Before the HBO show, the old show.
Yeah.
And we disagreed on everything, you know, and he sat right across from me. And so he had said something about guns, and I said something that got a laugh, and they went to commercial. And it wasn't like I made fun of him, but I kind of made fun of his
point.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
And he leaned forward and put his hand on my arm, and I literally thought he was going to say, like, if you ever do that again, you know. And he just looked at me and said, so you're an actor. Things are going well. You're on this, of course. You know, so that's good. And then he was gentlemen, same. Went back to the second segment, blah, blah, blah. These hippies don't know anything. And then commercial picked up the conversation where he left it off. After the show, I told him how much I love Planet of the Apes. He goes, I'd be happy to send you a picture from the film if you'd like. And I said, I'd love that. And he says, oh, give me your address. And I wrote down my address on a piece of paper. 4 days later.
He did.
Manila envelope with a picture of him to Dana Best, which is like just old school.
That's
like,
so impressive.
Such a great. And I know people that worked on SNL when he was there.
Yeah.
And they were just like, we all wanted to make him dinner. Like, he was the nicest guy in the world.
Do you remember on the 10th anniversary of Saturday Night Live, he came out on stage and did this huge thing, and he read a letter from somebody that had sent to NBC saying, this is the worst thing on television.
Yeah.
It's going to ruin it. And it was signed Charlton Heston.
Yes.
He had sent that letter saying, you got to tear the show down.
Yeah. He was able to, we don't have this anymore, but he was able to laugh at himself.
Yeah, and, yeah.
If you're familiar with the movie, you know, the only thing that dates that movie is the hippie ape at the end.
Right.
The groovy hippie ape is the only thing that really dates it. Well, now that guy's a friend of mine.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, his name is Lou Wagner, and he's a really talented actor, and he was in Planet of the Apes. And he said, you know, we were down in this, in Point Doom, in Malibu, and we could only eat lunch with straws.
Yeah.
Because we had all this makeup on and we didn't have any straws. And so Heston said, I'll get him. I need to exercise anyway. And he ran 2 miles. He ran a mile back to base camp, got a bunch of straws, and then ran the mile back.
Wow.
And he was the star of the movie.
Wow. Like,
you know who he could have asked to do that for him? Every single person he would lay his eyes on.
Yeah. Yes. That's so true.
And I learned a lot. Like, I don't consider myself famous in any way, shape, or form, but like I've the way I've seen Charlton Heston deal with people, the way I watched George Carlin deal with people, it was always they knew that this moment is not about me. This moment's about you.
Right.
And they were always so effortlessly graceful with people.
That's so important. Isn't There's it? Nothing worse yeah. than meeting someone that you idolize and they're a complete jerk to you.
Yeah, that would be the worst. That would be crushing. That would be crushing.
Danny, you said a second ago you're not famous.
Unless it's Buddy Rich.
If it was Buddy Rich, then you
wouldn't
get it.
Want
you'd be disappointed
be,
if he wasn't.
Right.
He's notorious for being bitter toward everybody. You say you're not famous by any stretch, but there's got to be some solace in knowing that a generation of comics that worked alongside of you look at you as one of the beacons. You were one of the guys who just did everything you wanted to do.
Yeah, I'm famous. It's funny. My draw is other comedians, which doesn't really help because they get in free. When your entire draw is on the guest list,
right.
It really stinks. Problem. Yeah, that's if there's anything that I'm proud of is that I'm fairly sure that when I walk out of a room of my peers, nobody rolls their eyes.
Yeah.
You know, I
was there the night at the Chicago Improv that you auditioned for Saturday Night Live.
I have a story about this night.
Was it upsetting to you to not get Saturday Night Live? Are you okay with it?
I was okay with it.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you the story. And you tell me where I'm wrong.
Okay.
I'll save the names for at the end.
Okay.
I went on stage in Chicago auditioning for Saturday Night Live and had the set of my life.
Yeah, like, you did very well.
I did very well.
Yeah.
Then the second guy went on, did not do that well.
Yeah.
And the third guy went on and really didn't even try. The third guy went on and just kind of hacked around.
Yeah.
So I'm flying back to LA with these other two guys thinking, I just got Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And I'm looking at them thinking, Chris Rock, Adam Sandler, you'll be okay. You'll get your time.
Yeah.
But this is about me.
Yeah.
Don't get too close. And it didn't work out that way. But I had just met the woman that I had just started dating the woman that I would eventually marry and have
so
three kids with.
Not
so
bad.
So
it was a win-win.
Everything happens for
everything
a reason.
Everything was great.
Do you believe that?
No.
No.
Have you seen that flood footage?
Yeah, just so
agreed.
You know, I have.
But I was always cool. But I was always, I had a good career and I was in love and I was happy. And so, no, I never. But the funny story is I've told that story a bunch of times.
Yeah.
My wife went on. Is now runs Annapurna Pictures television department and my ex-wife now. And at the time she was the head of HBO and she went to New York and had dinner with Chris Rock about something. And then she came back and said, honey, you know that story you tell about Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
I go, yeah. She goes, it's true.
Oh yeah, it's true.
It's like, well, I haven't been lying for 10 years.
Can I tell you another piece of the puzzle? I had dinner with Adam Sandler after that night. We all went out to dinner and he was sitting next to me and I said, what do you think? And he goes, well, Dana Gould got it for sure. And beyond that, nobody knows. So everyone was positive you got it and somehow you didn't get it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, from what I understand, that's nice to know. I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
I think that the reason I didn't get it was that I was very well formed. Like, I was already baked.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that Lauren,
no molding
Lauren
could happen.
Pointed people that he could sort of mold into the show.
Sure.
And I don't think he's wrong. You know, I wanted to be the lead in Stand Against Evil, and I thought I would just do it in makeup. And
right.
You know, and Pete Aronson at IFC went, no.
Doesn't work that way.
We're going to pick up the show, but we want the star to be a star.
Yeah.
And I could hear the 25-year-old me going, forget it. And I could hear the 50-year-old me going, who do you like?
Yeah, right.
I got to check out Stand Against Evil, IFC. I can't wait to see it. I'm going
to
binge watch it.
Great to see you again.
Great to see you.
Anytime
thanks
you're here, please come by. Well, thank you. It's Dana Gould. Go see him at Zanies in Rosemont. You got shows tonight. You got shows tomorrow night. Zanies.com has all your information right there. Thanks again, Dana. Great
thanks.
To see you. A quick break and then some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.